You are now listening to Discover Your Potential with renowned radio talk show host and certified holistic practitioner, Cindy Gilman. So listen, participate, be inspired. Know that you can discover your potential. Here she is, Cindy Gilman.
Beautiful Sunday to all of you who are allowing me to be a part of your Sunday. It's a beautiful day here, and I'm going to read something to start out with. This is called The Soul Bird. Deep, deep within the body resides a soul. No one has seen it, but everyone knows that it exists. And not only knows it exists, they also know what's in it. Within the soul, in the center of it, on one foot stands a bird. A bird whose name is Soul Bird. And it feels everything that we feel. When someone injures us, the Soul Bird is crushed within us, hither and yon in every direction. It suffers critical pains. When someone loves us, the Soul Bird skips with cheerful little steps, forwards and backwards, coming and going. When someone calls our name, the Soul Bird hearkens attentively to the voice in order to identify what kind of call it is. When someone is angry at us, the Soul Bird withdraws into itself and is silent and sad. But when someone hugs us, the Soul Bird, which dwells deep, deep inside our bodies, grows bigger and bigger until it practically fills up all the space inside us. That's how good a hug is for her. Inside the body, deep, deep, dwells the soul. No one's seen it, but everyone knows that it exists. And there never, ever was born a person or animal who didn't have a soul. The soul comes inside of us, and it doesn't leave us, not even for a moment, as long as we are alive. It's like the air which we breathe. From the moment it enters until the moment of death. And what is important is to listen carefully. Listen to the Soul Bird, because it happens that the Soul Bird sometimes calls to us and we don't hear. Too bad. She wants to tell us about ourselves. She wants to tell us about our feelings, which are locked away deep inside of us. Some people listen to her frequently. Some people listen to her infrequently. And some people listen to her only one time in their lives. So it's worthwhile. Maybe late at night, when it's quiet outside, to listen to the Soul Bird inside of us, deep, deep inside our bodies. And that is The Soul Bird by Michael Sinunit. I want to begin today on this Sunday. I don't know how many of you might have watched on all the network TV stations and some cable news stations, they had a nationwide graduation for all of those students graduating from high school and college, the class of 2020. I know so many young people who look forward to that day. And because of this ugly virus that's around, none of these graduates, high school graduates who won't get to a prom, high school graduates who won't have a commencement ceremony, college graduates whose proud parents stand. But if you watched it, you got to hear President Barack Obama. I truly enjoyed his commencement speech. I love to hear him speak because he's so bright, so articulate, and he was so motivating. He was talking directly to the students. So congratulations to all our graduates, the class of 2020, and to all the parents who helped them get there. I want to begin by expressing my deep condolences to those who are listening, whose relatives or friends have passed on from this virus, and to Ben Stiller and his family of the passing of his dad, Jerry Stiller. I knew Jerry Stiller and his wife, Ann Mira, and I'll tell you a funny story about it. Doug, how are you today?
I am feeling beautiful.
And you're sounding beautiful.
Thank you.
Everybody always says, what a wonderful voice Doug has.
You're so kind. I'm so blessed. Thank you.
So, you know, it seems it's you and me today, and I'll tell you why. Many people have asked me or said to me, you always interview other people. You always ask them about their history, how the universe has put them in the direction of where they are and what they're supposed to be doing. But you never talk about your own journey. So today, first of all, can we talk a little bit about your journey, Doug?
You are such a beautiful soul. I put that out there. And your family, just so you know. Everyone I've had the opportunity to work with and know Cindy's family, and it's a treat. They do what they say they can do. By the way, I don't get to say that often, and if you knew my history, you would know how rare that truly is.
So
I just want to throw that out there. We love you, Cindy. You're a marvelous, marvelous human being.
Thank
marvelous.
You. Don't make me cry.
Aww.
And you deal a lot with my son, Dan.
I do. Dan's showing me a real skill at design work. He is the gentleman who created our three recent logos that we're having, you know, people rate and tell us which one they love. And I got to be honest with you, it's 30, you know, three good logos, and it's like a third, a third, a third across the board. That's
very rare.
Love all of them. Yeah, everyone was good. Every logo, every design was good. It was tasteful. It was unique. It was different. I looked at it and I knew I was dealing with a professional of capability. And, you know, in all the business structures I've created and built over time, that's something that comes highly prized. So that was a treat. It still is. And I know that Dan Gilman's starting the Hummingbird Network. And with his meticulous nature, he's going to do extremely well, I think, in time. You know, there are always obstacles to creating anything. But
absolutely.
He is, you know, even the Hummingbird logo, I was just, wow, so brilliant.
He's a very talented man.
He is, and soft-spoken, and good-natured, and aware of others.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's a compliment to his upbringing.
Thank you. You know, Dan grew up going to radio and TV stations, you know, and at the time, you know, he was young, he was, and I'd schlep him along, and much to his dismay, and all his friends would say, oh, can I come too? But, yeah, he grew up, and I remember he had an assignment to do for school, and, he'll probably, kill me for telling you this. When he was very young, he had me get him a little briefcase, and I got him a briefcase, and wherever he went, he would collect forms, all kinds of forms, medical forms, bank forms. I thought, this kid is either going to be an accountant or he's going to make forms. and he had an assignment in school to, to write. Well, what would you like to do when you grow up? And I read it, and he said, I want to be an artist. And I said, Dan, I said, you want to be an artist? And he said, Mom, I am an artist.
Wow.
And yes.
From forms and paperwork to artist.
He was so funny. Wherever he went, he took his little briefcase with all the forms. He'd line them up on a little desk at home. And I thought, oh, is this an accountant or what? And then he says, I am an artist. And he is. He's won all kinds of awards.
He's got joy in his heart. He's got something to him that makes him kind. He's got that sort of a soul. And that's such a compliment to you. You don't get that sort of a soul unless you have a family that nurtures that.
You know, and after I divorced, it was just he and I. And I did the best I could.
So wonderful. And now you're helping the rest of the world in your magnificence. Your guests are fantastic. The way you're able to bring out the best in them and be cognizant of everything they say, it's almost like you're a part of their lives. And you're such a great interviewer. It's almost like you've been doing this forever and ever and ever and ever.
You know, I wasn't always an interviewer. I was actually a child performer. And, I mean, from the time I can remember, I was always in the public eye. And I really didn't want to be in the public eye. I loved singing. I loved, pleasing audiences. But I didn't like being in the public eye. I remember being in, I think it was junior high school, and I was taking a public bus to go home. And I had been doing radio and TV from the time I was a kid. And there were some people on the bus, and they were pointing and saying, isn't that the girl from television? And I was so embarrassed, I got off at the next stop.
Wow.
But
this is a catalyzing event where people were laughing at you for what you were doing, and it shaped you, maybe.
It just made me uncomfortable to be the center of attention.
And yet you're spiritual now, and you embody so much wisdom. You must have taken that and analyzed it in a lot of different ways and grown a great deal, or are you still a child on the bus?
You know what? I think I'm a little of both. I think there still is a part of me that's that child on the bus.
Well, that maybe gives you your such beautiful nature, too. I mean, if we can't see the world as a child, who are we?
You know, that inner child that I have, you know, every time I hear them say, oh, we have to We have to be careful for this virus for the elderly, people 60 and over. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. You're calling me elderly? I don't like that.
Yeah, that's racist. Yep.
But, you know, you and your twin brother started this radio station, or radio network, I should say. What brought you to radio?
Ooh, my brother's creativity. I was developed. We, Donald and I, have a very strange past. Kind of put together The Wolf of Wall Street, stuff like that, and for maybe a 20-year period, 25-year period. And imagine markets catapulting, and you're kind of at the center of it. Nobody really kind of knows, Don and I. We don't speak too loudly about it because it was such a hard past. But it involved a lot of, you know, thought reflection. When things get really bad, everybody has inflection points.
Right.
And we did. And our inflection points led to, spontaneous awareness. I don't know any other way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it can be so profound, it literally shifts everything in your body. It's like some people, they say, yeah, I believe that we're all connected.
Right.
And they, and there's a sense that it's true, and even maybe physics and everything proves there to be truth to it. But until you actually feel that extra limb, there's a distant aspect to it. There's a belief in it,
right?
But there's a distant aspect to it. Some awakenings actually impart that to you. I don't know how to explain that. How can you explain to somebody everything being so much more and yet residing where you are? So that leads to a lot of other questions, understandings, which changes your life. It can probably drive people insane. It's something that occurred, and it shifted. Many people might call it a kundalini, and it shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And then our understanding was more, and by the way, we were of nature. Donald and I, my twin brother, I have a twin brother. There's two of us.
Right. Who's the older twin?
Right, we're twins, and by our very nature, we were highly competitive, because there's two of us. We always had to wear, parents dressed us the same, God forbid, in purple corduroy pants. Imagine that, pleated purple corduroy pants. Try that out. the kind of lederhosen to look really funny. Sort of thing. My mother was Austrian. I mean, we'd be driving down the road, she'd say, pee out the window, nobody will watch you. That's my mom. So we grew up in a very weird... It's very, very brilliant, very aware, but, you know, didn't think some of the things that we might think are kind of strange. And we were highly competitive, always told. We never got home. Nobody ever said to us, God, you do great. Mm. It was always, gosh, you know, you could have done this and even done this much more. Which, it's good and it's bad. The bad part is that you're always striving for something better. The good part is that you're striving for something better. It catalyzes who you are. So Don and I, at a very young age, very young, maybe 15 years old, we started into financial markets. We were brought into the Vancouver market before the 1989 crash. And we started dealing with brokers and books. And we were very good on the phones. So we'd phone you up sometimes. Imagine an investor being called up at midnight and saying, if you don't buy stock in the next morning, you know, you're going to lose out. Now, that takes a lot of balls to call people at those sorts of hours. Yet Don and I would work nonstop. Why? Because there was a ticker tape. Stock goes up or it goes down. And when you're competitive, you pick a point and you start to do whatever you can to get to those levels, right? You're goal-oriented. Well, that sort of a nature drove a lot of markets. It drove a lot of companies and created a lot of, you know, at a time period when you're dealing with the 1989 crash. And by the way, that time period Don't think people weren't aware of it prior to that time. Now, I'm not going to say more, but, you know, they are. People are ready for that, or a time soaks when the match strikes are all pounding the market at the same time, because there's
right.
a group that knows to do it at the same time based on a system. So you have that understanding of markets, and even more, the Wolf of Wall Street, hidden behind closed doors, what you say with the market participants, dealing with market traders, shorts, knowing the market up and down. Like, they don't have the same, they give people, if you pay enough money, you can know all the bids and all the offers on stock. By the way, that's a huge advantage. You pay even more money, you can know a little bit more sooner than the rest.
Wow.
Well, back then, they had all that capability, but your average business didn't know that. So when you got into those markets, we were very green, and we were fighting that understanding. We became, my brother and I, with our determination, we would move so much paper. At the age of 17, 18, we could sometimes move 10% of the stock exchange volume, but nobody
wow.
would hear of us. But we had direct lines into 40 brokerage desk traders. At that time, desk traders were international traders. So we moved a lot of paper. We moved a lot of, and we raised a lot of private placements for a lot of companies and a lot of powerful people. Then the market crashed, and it crashed. The crash when my father was away. He was finding another ore, a mine body. It was a Kaspersky Jorge in Czechoslovakia, where Snow White and the Seven Dwarves came from, and. We were getting it financed, and the market dropped, and he was gone, and I was getting called by a million different brokers and clients saying, what do I do? I'm losing everything. Now, imagine a guy that doesn't really cheat, loves to compete, couldn't, you know, at 19, 18 years old, and the whole world's crashing around. Everybody thought he was making money in dozens of companies. So what do? Like an idiot. I step into the market for millions in credit, like an idiot.
Whoa.
But that's just so I could buy out everybody on the way down. And you're talking stocks were at dollar levels. They came back at penny levels. So what did I do? I ended up burying our family. I mean, burying our family. It took a year just of selling everything we've ever owned on the marketplace just to pay for the interest and the brokerage loan and stock. And we lost. Basically, we were losing it all. But during that time period, you know, things happen. You have 40 different accounts, and sometimes you buy and you sell your own stock. Not that I wanted to, but 40 brokers were indicted, all three, my our family, our friends, my sister, my brother,
wow.
my dad, everybody. Wow. And it was huge, and they made it into headlines from coast to coast, coast to coast. And it kept on following us for a decade. Well, during that decade, I was dealing with people you've seen on the front page. My brother and I were dealing with people you've seen on the front page of Entrepreneur Magazine, Time Magazine, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they came to people like us. Why? Because we could build the plan, we could build the paperwork, we could raise the capital, and we didn't take any credit. And which was because we were just so young, we were just so aggressive.
Right.
But then we got taken advantage of so many times, and the participation of so much of your people that don't want you to survive, and even more powerful organizations can take its toll. It took its toll on us. We spent everything. We gave them everything. We lost everything, and that's what led to. Saying, I can't take it. I just cried. I can remember I didn't want to live. I couldn't believe in human nature. I found that you could raise hundreds of millions of dollars, but every shareholder would lose. But the people who started the company, they did well. Why? Maybe because they backdate options, or they hire all their family, or they vest out the interests of the assets into another company that they were getting some benefit to, or whatever, you name it. I could tell you a trillion reasons why companies fail. In fact, you won't know your best friend until something goes wrong. Believe me, you won't know. But when that something goes wrong, you will know. So imagine the high quality of level I entertain before I value you or I trust you. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And that broke me down. And I needed to forgive the world and forgive myself for involving the world into what I thought would be great and my brother thought would be great. So many families were bankrupted because of our belief system that everything would be perfect. I mean, we believed what you told us. I mean, we didn't know any better. I mean, Don and I couldn't produce a widget or tell you there was ore in the ground or whatever. I mean, you were telling us. And that broke us. Not led to meditation, years of meditating. You know, just quiet time, evaluating and thinking deeply and feeling gratitude and taking in love and just doing that. And you do that over a period, and something spontaneously occurred while I was stepping out of my shower, while I was towel drying. And that changed the nature of what we do. And what we do now is, look, everybody, Donald and I truly believe in infinity in all directions and unity. You can't have one or the other. You need both in a growth world. You need it all. You need expansion in all directions. Right. And every point of view is going to look at all those directions a little differently than you do. We will never dictate policy from the top down, lowest come from the bottom up. We truly believe in giving a podium to express voice, because if you don't allow people to express their voice, that's where anger resides, and that's where the pain and the body problems and everything else that can occur.
It's all connected.
If you don't believe that, I wish just have a kundalini, and you know you're never gonna be able to step on a bug and go, oh, that didn't affect anything, and laugh. It's not going to occur. You will know you stepped on the bug. You will probably remember it, maybe, and it will affect you, and you'll probably have an apology made because you know that ultimately it's a part of you.
Right.
You treat everything differently. And this business, we grow because we believe in the energy that exists here now that's positive, it's empowering. Look, it's non-judgmental. I don't know if God's judgmental per se. By the way, when you have a kundalini, you're able to forgive everything about yourself instantly and everybody else. You think you're going to go through periods of karma? Maybe. Maybe there is karma in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I do know this. You will be so aware at such a high level that you will understand it and you will laugh like a kid. You will. It'll be like bliss on tap because you'll laugh so hard at yourself. You'll laugh so hard at anything even trying to kill you in a weird way because they don't understand. It's like Christ saying, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. If that is such a haiku at that level because it's so true, whether Christ knew it or not, you knew it, but it's true.
I know when people raise their vibrational level, whatever they do, whether it's kundalini, whatever meditation, whatever, that look with it, when they raise their vibration, anything is possible.
Right.
And that's when true healing takes place.
Right. Right. No, you're absolutely right. That's sort of a connection. By the way, this is the drawback. There is drawbacks to play. Look, if I'm going to take you to infinity on a positive level, do you really think you're going to know the value of it unless you see the negative portion of that? Now, here's what I mean by that.
Boy, that's the truth.
Right. If I put you on bliss on tap, you're sucking it. You know, that's all you knew from beginning to end. You wouldn't even know the value of what you're doing. Man, I could automate you. Maybe I just make you into a stiff rock because there's nothing else you're doing. You're just, right? You couldn't know the value of it and to create unless I took you off of bliss on top. That's why we have up and down, plus and minus. That's why when I have a lot of psychics that tell me, you know, the world's going to be better because of this, or Nisara, or whatever is in the moment. Here's what I believe. You're going to see greater highs and greater lows.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, you think there's a concentration of power now?
Oh,
give it 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's also going to be that of a higher level of beauty as well. So that's the nature of the environment we're in.
Everything is in balance. If there's really positive, high vibrational levels of consciousness and healing, and more people are becoming spiritually aware. And I don't mean religious, but spiritually. There's always that other side
right.
of people who are looking at the ugly side of life, or
right.
who, you know, who are negative.
And its property, there's a reason it exists.
Right.
And sadly, you don't have to choose that reason for existence, but it's there.
It's
and,
there.
You know, I see into the future where we have people mining asteroids, making more money than this continent makes. Yet you're also going to have the opportunity to move into the universe and have mm-hmm. your, if some person's freedom-oriented or maybe total liberal and they want a certain understanding, there might be outcroppings of those. But on a bigger level, just imagine a circle's bubble keep getting larger and larger and larger. So our bubbles are going to keep getting larger to infinity. And by the way, that expression is only one rung on a ladder moving upwards. I'm just pulling the first lever of it, and yet I could go forever upwards on that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about dimensions, but dimensions can be, in truth, you know, even greater. I mean, we think about dimensions at 10 dimensions or 12 dimensions, but what if
right.
there's an infinite number of dimensions? What
right.
what if the expression of that is infinite? I know I can't grasp my mind around it. I can't grasp. Here's a good one. In the very beginning of time, there was only one. Oh, sure, it could cut itself into two. It could divide into pi. It could cut
mm-hmm.
parts of it off, and you
mm-hmm.
and I are an expression of that. But in one environment, there's only infinite aspects of itself. It could never be co-joined. There's no intersecting lines. They're all unique in their aspects, and they reside infinitely in the very beginning, no matter what. Anyways, that's all you know.
That's
could
it.
I
think...
It right, could we think of God
and
infinity in that way? Sure.
Right.
Sure, so there. I don't know about rights and wrongs. I know about how we connect and how we love each other.
Right.
And that's really what a Kundalini gives us. And so now this network allows us to interact with people that have that same sort of a bend. Right or wrong, left or right, up or down. They're trying to help be helpful. And that's, to me, I think, the most valuable aspect I see in the people that are on our network. And the most important.
And you've given them a wonderful platform to touch other lives.
Right.
To touch on other dimensions, on things that people might not have either thought about or believed and said, maybe there is something to this.
Right. I have a brother. He's very, very, very conservative on some levels. He's very, you know, he expresses opinions that 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago are in the realm of this is really bad. And you don't see it until 4 or 5 years later. And by the way, what he said 5 years earlier was really, and it occurs. In the news business, we hear it all from A to Z. So when you think there's dark aspects of the future in sight, you know, the odds are it's probably going to be there. Learn to be okay with that and just work on the other aspect of it. You know, there are people in the world that want to change the world. Great, but let's just change yourself and the people around you first just by being your very nature. If you're in joy, people want to be in joy. Look, if I show you a sign where somebody's dancing around, having fun with everybody, and I cut that scene in half, on the other side, this guy's brooding and alone, upset and dark. Well, you get to choose. You get to choose
That's
which
right.
aspect of your life you're going to play in. And today I see most of the world playing in an aspect like a TV screen, like the TV, like a medium that projects one ugliness after another on one side of the world. It's cut in half the screen. On the other side of the world, I see myself on a beach sipping on a margarita. And I always think to myself, well, every time I look at media today, I got a choice.
Right.
That's how my brain works. I have a choice to listen to this or to be over here sucking on a margarita. And I got to tell you, that keeps me sane, because I know if I pick the choice of the crazy world, I'm giving away my life. It's almost like my soul for that minute or that hour or that day is moving over there, and it's gone. It never comes back. All the things I could have created or been or seen or done or thought is gone in the activity of seeing somebody else's life.
Right.
In the activity of being a part of somebody else's opinion. It's just so crazy. It's so crazy. Because, you know, people tell me they're so sure of things. I'm so sure. I say, the only thing you know for sure is that you got your words and works from others.
Right. Wow.
Your knowledge.
Wow.
Because you had to read something. You had
right.
to study something. It wasn't your work that you studied. It wasn't your work that you read.
Right.
So 99% of what you know is from the words and works of others. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not. You're right. I mean, this is true.
So when you criticize somebody, you're a politician, you don't even know, and you start with a bad angle, it's so
right.
limiting and stupid on a higher level. In fact, it's so stupid, here's what you're left with. You're left with dark nights of the soul. When you reach a higher high, you get to feel the lower lows. Why? Because you really feel guilty when you judge somebody. When your ego comes out and it says, ooh, look at him.
Right.
It hits you over the head like a 2x4. Nobody needs to say it. Your brain's saying it itself. Right? And then you open up to the expression of everything. It's so beautiful that way. It takes time, by the way. Even for me, it took a lot of time. I find myself falling back into those practices of judgment. And it's because the media makes me want to judge everything all the time.
Right. And it's very difficult to express publicly how ugly judgmental behavior is.
It's so stupid. If I put you on a think tank and you think you have an opinion that's so brilliant, I'll put you on a think tank with 30 or 40 people, and by the time we're done, within an hour, there'll be so many opinions that alter from your own, and you'll figure that they were valid. It'd blow your mind. I don't care what you think. I believe that on some level, that there's so many different points of view that can be
right.
brought to bear, that they're going to ring a truth in you if you have those experiences. Just that most people don't have those worldly experiences, so they can't see a truth in other people's experiences.
And we wish that they could. Luckily,
a kundalini kind of gives you all those experiences at once, kind of. In a weird way, it just says this is the breadth of human ability. And then you don't judge it in the way that you normally do, because it feels like a part of your ability. It's like if you were to cross over on a piece, let's say everything was a piece of paper and you come out of it like a little needle out of a piece of paper. And at the end of it, there's a little light. It's like a light to pull in ships, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but you're that little teeny light and you're airing outwards, but you're still your light's drawing from the paper. You might not know that you're part of that paper, but let's just imagine that that energy that you're emanating is coming from this piece of paper. You see yourself as a light. You're looking all around, but you're still part of the paper. Now, on a higher level, you'd say, okay, if I'm a part of the paper, then
mm-hmm.
maybe I can pull in other aspects of this paper. Oh, I want to know how Hitler feels. I don't know why, but you're a part of Hitler. You can run from it. Go ahead, tell me, but you are. By the way, every time, you know, this might be hard to believe, but every fart Hitler ever made, you still smell every time you take a breath.
Oh, thank you very much.
I know, but I mean, on a very physical level, there's some truth to that, by the way. What's that mean?
Unfortunately, and the thing is, because my belief is that all of time is one. Whatever happened, is happening, and will happen are all part of one.
Right. Right.
For people who call themselves psychics, even if they have one aha moment and suddenly they hang out a shingle, or people who call themselves mediums, because they take one course, unless, you know, they were born. I mean, I feel blessed because I was born with certain abilities where I could touch other lives, whether it was through music, whether it was through the spiritual work that I do, or this. I feel very blessed, but I feel so strongly that whatever was and is and will be are all tied together.
Of course. We break it apart in a linear fashion so we can understand it and grow. But even that, if you encapsulate all of time, all of experience, into one kind of like a moment where re-experience, or all in one, they just say it's one.
Right.
We can break that up and make it into two. There has to be something. You can't have
everything has to be in balance.
Right. But you can break something into something else.
Right.
The separation, when people come in to believe there's a separation at 20, and then you got to believe that, here's how crazy it gets. You have to believe God and you are separate. Okay, well, with that case, you'd have to believe that everything started with not one, it could have started with two. But that doesn't matter. You know, you can, something can be broke up and create two, it can create pi. But, and then here's another thing you have to believe. You have to believe that something can create something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you create something from nothing? Well, maybe you have to use a part of yourself to create that something. Well, that mean, there's no other way. I mean, math might make sense, but yet people sometimes think, it's a separate thing. How can it be? Mathematically, all the things that everybody's shown, spiritual, it doesn't make sense when people think along those lines. So for me to believe that God is outside the self is just ludicrous. It's not only ludicrous, it's so limiting and so sad.
We're all a part of it.
Right, you just got to know that you're connected. Even if you think it's the finest sliver of a wire that goes to infinity upwards, but you're still connected that way. But you are.
Right.
And you get to use that telephone line in the way that you're using it, and you can be more observational of it, too. You can actually be aware that it's there and know that it's reaching out to something that's touching everything. But it's there.
What? Thank you. Why don't we take a little break? And when we do, when we come back, I want to talk about my own journey. But people always ask, who is it that's singing at the end of your program, Cindy? And I say, that was me. When I sang. So, Doug, can we play the whole song so people can hear it?
Starting ringing, I know that he's near. By the thunder I hear in advance, his words and his words alone are the words that can start my heart singing. Cause his is the only my sight for a glance. is the only music that makes me dance. Yes, it is the only music that makes me dance.
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115.
And we are back, and for those of you who kept asking whose voice that was, it was mine in a past career. It feels almost like a past life. And, you know, everybody, when I decided to do this radio broadcast and call it Discover Your Potential, it was to show people that within them they have the potential to grow, to do things, to find what they truly are meant to do, and that may be more than one thing during our lifetime, as many of you who have heard this program in the past, and even Doug today, who talked about what he and his brother have done and are doing now. And I want to just take a moment before I talk a little bit about my own past. I want all of you to, whether you're listening live or if you get to listen to the podcast in the future, I want you to take in a slow, deep breath and a huge exhale and bring in to that third eye, which is just behind the center of your forehead, a beautiful, healing, white light, and let yourself be filled with that light. And then encircle yourself in that light, and then put another gold circle around that white light, and let us send healing to all of those who are in need of healing, whether it is people who are suffering with this virus, or people who have chronic illness, or people who are hurting emotionally or spiritually. And I even send out healing to the person who hacked my website 3 times. If you're listening, whatever is bothering you, I forgive you. I send you healing. I hope that you will feel well and whole. So for all of those in need of healing, let us send together a beautiful, beautiful light of energy to all of you here and around the world. You know, the color orange is a color that neutralizes and absorbs negative energy. I often suggest this to people who call me and say, well, somebody I work with has negative energy, blah, 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 blah. Or somebody that I was talking to, and I think I'm covered with their negative energy. Well, if you decide to take it on, but take an orange, a beautiful Valencia orange, a round orange, and just let yourself absorb the color. The color orange from inside, from the top of your head, inside, all the way through your entire being. Fill yourself with that orange color, neutralizing and absorbing any negative energy, negative thought, negative feeling, feelings from the past, feelings of guilt. Let it go. Let the orange absorb it. Yes, you too. It will work if you try it. And then take that orange that you're holding in your hand, that beautiful Valencia orange. If you feel that there are people who are negative at work, at home, wherever, put that orange somewhere. And in 1 or 2 days, if you see that orange start to turn dark, it is absorbing, just the way Doug had mentioned before, we absorb other people's energy. It is absorbing all that negativity so that we can be free and be positive and be there for others. Luckily, we have a generation of children. Remember when we had the indigo children, and now we have the crystal children. And these young souls, well, they may be old souls, but in new young bodies, these souls have come here to help heal, to help heal. And we all have the capacity to heal ourselves, to heal relationships, positivity, smiles, warmth, love is contagious as well. Just as this ugly virus that's scooting around, just as some of you feel so worn out from being in lockdown in your house, and they call it social distancing. I call it antisocial distancing. We are social beings. We are meant to be with others. So the number here, I was hoping some people would call in, is 888-627-6008. If you've had an experience, if you'd like to share something, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, let's hear about it. Get it off your chest. If you want to talk to me, if you've lost a loved one, and I shouldn't say lost because they're never lost, they're always watching over us. They are. They're always watching over us. We are all connected on this side and on the other side. We are still connected. I started out as a child performer. I sang concerts. I was on radio and TV at a very young age. I felt very blessed. I was given a voice that could touch lives. I didn't realize it until I was older. I didn't realize until later on what tonal healing is. That certain tones can heal. When I went on to school, I went to Emerson College, I loved Emerson. It's like a family. My voice teacher took a position at New England Conservatory and insisted that I transfer, which I did. And that's where I finished up. Thank you. I went to New York and performed. And everything seemed to always just bring me there. The universe brought me there. I want to thank all of you for listening today. For those of you who want to make an appointment, go to CindyGilman.com. I want to thank Doug for sharing so much of his hour with me. It was a blessing. I feel blessed I'm a part of BBS Radio. Bless you all. Have a great week. See you next time.
Hello, I am Ron Hayden of Voices Unlimited. I've been writing and voicing radio and television commercials, toys, games, corporate sales and training, and so much more for over 25 years nationally and globally. I will write or co-write and voice your radio or TV spots, on-hold messages, or whatever you need. In one of my many voices or celebrity voices, custom characters, or an announcer voice. A great gift idea. Have me make a celebrity phone call for a special occasion. Just go to www.ronhayden.com to sample my voice demos. Email me at rhvoices1@msn.com. I look forward to working with you in a high voice, a low voice, or just my voice.